chapter influence the way you see yourself and your life. Advertising tells us that you are constantly in need of something bigger and better to be happy. People tell you who you are and what you should do based only on their limited perspective. You know, you have to pay attention to who you allow to counsel you. That's really what's being said here. And you also have a very real enemy who hates you, working to convince you that you aren't worth love. You're good at nothing. And you'll never have anything. That's what the devil wants you to believe. You are good for nothing, and you will never amount to anything. And so God, because of his incredible love for you, has given you the Holy Spirit and his word. The Holy Spirit and God's word is what he has given us. But God, because of his incredible love for you, has given you the Holy Spirit and his word. And we know that John chapter 1 says to us that in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. So we know that when we talk about the word, we're talking about God's word. And then that first chapter of the Gospel of John goes on to say, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's when Jesus came on. So go back and look at that. But that's what we want to focus on. He's given us the ability to renew our minds, to renew your mind to the truth of how he sees you and feels about you. The truth of who you really are. That's what God has given us. Every day, you have the chance to experience the much-needed renewal of your emotions, perspectives, and beliefs. Every day, God longs to speak the truth to your identity through his word and his spirit. The word and the spirit agree. If you are given any kind of message, you receive, you think you hearing from God, and it goes against what the word of God says, that's not God, because the word and the spirit agree. And so each day you have the chance to experience the much needed renewal of your emotions, your perspectives, and your beliefs. Every day God wants to speak the truth of your identity through his word and through his spirit. So we're going to look today at the power of renewing our minds and how we can consistently experience that renewal. Father God, we thank you this morning for your word and for your spirit. We ask, Father God, that you would anoint the ears of the hearers this morning, and that they would open their hearts to receive what they need to hear from you this morning, God, to renew their minds, Father God, in the areas where they still have doubt and unbelief. To renew our minds, Father God, is what we need this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. So when we look at Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, it tells us, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. In some translations, it says, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and by testing you may discern what is the will of God. You see, we always need to know what God's will is, because when we operate on our own will, we have a problem. Yes. So we always need to discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And when we renew our minds, we are presenting ourselves as worship to God. You worship God when you choose to believe his word over other words. You love God when you trust him over your feelings and limited perspective. You see, a lot of people are operating in their feelings. I don't feel like it today. That's why I didn't go to church. I don't feel like it, so that's why I don't go to prayer. I don't feel like it, you know, I just don't feel like it. You see, but you let your feelings get in the way. And so when your feelings get in the way, you can't hear from God, and you lose your place of faith. So you're in doubt and unbelief. So we have to be careful about those feelings. You see, we ask God for faith. Faith is what we need to serve God. Feelings is not what we need to serve God. So when you renew your mind, you are conforming no longer to the world with the destruction and the lies. God puts conforming to the lies of the world and renewing your mind to the truth in stark contrast. They're miles apart. That whole thing about the lies, conforming to those lies that we hear on TV, conforming to those lies that the devil tries to get us to believe that we might have believed in our life before we got saved. We need to erase some of that stuff, that doubt and unbelief, and some of that fear, all of that we had before we got saved. You see, that's where our mind needs to be. So Romans 8, 5, and 6 illustrates the point. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. When you set your mind on the Spirit, you will begin to experience life in your thoughts. Your way of thinking will be transformed from being negative and destructive to positive and responsive to God's boundless love and to his grace. And when you choose to trust and believe, it will cause the impact of every area of your life to be either good or bad. You see, you won't be in the middle. You won't be mid-stream. You'll know right from wrong, and you'll know, good from bad. And then God will be able to really use you and help you to move on in your life, you see. Because a lot of times we're stuck. A lot of times we just like that Dr. Carson said that, you know, we were stuck in that place on the computer. You see, you have to be careful, because if you have that stagnant, what we call stinking thinking, that stagnant thought life, then you'll get stuck and you'll still be where you don't want to be, because you can't move on unless you're willing to be obedient to God's word. And so if you'll do, you know, the things that we're going to talk about daily, then you'll have a life of contentment, joy, purpose, and abundance. And we heard the sister talk about joy in that song that she was singing, and she talked about peace. And you see, those are the things that God gives us. He gives us peace, and he gives us joy. And can allow that stinking thinking to cause us to have a doubt and unbelief. But if we listen to God's word and we follow his Spirit, we will then have peace and we'll have joy. And so we have to be obedient to God's word. We have to understand that what God's word says is true. That's the other part we need to understand, that God's word is true. And the scripture says, if you know the truth, it will set you free. That's what happens when you know the truth. So, you know, we need to choose to trust and believe, and in every area of our life, for either good or bad. That's what we need to understand. So in light of the incredible promises of God's word, how can you experience the fruit of renewing your mind? How can you continually set your mind on things of the Spirit? Well, first of all, you have to make time to open your mind and heart to Scripture every day. You see, that's why we need to study the Word, read the Word every day, because that is a part of getting that renewed mind. So you have to make time to open your mind and heart to the Scripture every day. And the best time to experience renewal in your mind is when you first wake up. Because you see, your mind has been quiet all night long. You know, we listen to our minds. We listen to what the mind has to say. And if the mind is not renewed, the conversation is not a good one. So the best time to experience renewal in your mind is when you first wake up. So every morning you can lay the foundation for what you will believe and how you will think for the rest of the day. You see, that's why we encourage people to have a morning devotion. You know, we want you to start your day by focusing in on the things of God, focusing in on the Word, having some conversation with God, some prayer. That's what prayer is, a conversation with God. And then second, you need to read the Scripture while listening to the Holy Spirit. You see, and so we need to get to know the voice of God. We need to know that when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And like I said, the Word and the Spirit agree. So whatever God's Word says, the Holy Spirit is never going to say something different, because God is in three persons, the triune being, and he is in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we need to understand that if you have to read Scripture, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. I mean, you're supposed to read the Scripture, and then you have the Holy Spirit. You need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture will become alive when you spend time reading it with the guidance and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. So in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is what he's talking about. To be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you, and he will be in you. Spend time allowing your helper, the Spirit of truth, to reveal the ways in which he desires to apply Scripture to your life. See, we need to apply this Word in our lives. It's just that, you know, in early days, I was in a church where they encouraged us to memorize the Word. And of course, there's nothing wrong with memorizing the Word. I'm not telling you not to do that. But the most important part of the Word, knowing the Word, is getting it on the inside of you. And so you speak it. You speak the Word. You speak it to yourself. You know, we have songs that we sing that are, we call them Word songs, because they're the Scripture, and we sing those songs. Ron Canole sings that song, oh Lord, I just had it on the tip of my tongue, about salvation. And you see, we begin to inhale that Word and get it on the inside of us. And many of us desire to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when we get saved. Everyone that accepts Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior receives the Holy Spirit. But then there's another blessing, we call it the blessing, where you receive the baptism. Just like that water baptism, well, there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's when you surrender yourself to the Holy Spirit. And, of course, there's a lot of controversy about this. A lot of people are afraid when you start talking about speaking in other tongues as the Lord gives us utterance. And you find that in the second chapter of Acts, where those folks were filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. There's a lot of controversy about that. A lot of people are afraid of it. But you know what? If you just keep on serving God and you keep on allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you, if you have a hunger and thirst for that infilling, you will get it. But you get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So I'm not doing a teaching on the infilling of the Holy Spirit this morning, so I'm going to stop it right there. But we need to spend time allowing the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, to reveal ways in which He desires to apply Scripture in our lives. And that's what I'm really getting to. That we need to apply the Scripture in our lives. So yes, you can memorize it, but where are you going to put that in your life? You can ask the Holy Spirit to be your teacher as you read the Word. You can ask the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. So then, third, you have to live in obedience to God's Word. You see, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. You need to be obedient to God. Obedience, this word of God tells us, is better than sacrifice. You can make all the sacrifices that you want, but if you're not obedient to God, then that's a problem. Because God can't use you, He can't help you, because you won't follow directions. You won't allow Him to help you because you're disobedient. You know, our parents are the first teachers about disobedience. Our parents tell us to do certain things, and we don't do those things, and we end up experiencing some kind of discipline. And I say that because some of us were raised with a switch or the belt, and now some people want to call that child abuse. But honey, I thank God for every whipping I got from my mother. She put my head between her legs and tore my rear end up with a switch, with a belt, and whatever else she did to help me understand that I need to understand about discipline. You see, because you can't live in this world and be successful without discipline, but you want to follow the one who's going to give you good direction and guidance, and that's God. You don't follow all these other so-called religions. You see, I have a problem with the word religion, because religion says you must do the rules. But you see, I'm not trying to do the rules without the Spirit. If I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me, then I'm more likely to be responsive and be successful and be obedient, you see. So you have to live in obedience to God's Word. So if you want to call yourself a Christian, you can't be doing all those things that you used to do. But God is not going to take a whip out and whip you every time you don't do what His Word says. But the Holy Spirit will come, and the Holy Spirit will present to you what it is you're doing wrong. And do it in a loving and kind way, and then give you the word that helps you understand that that is not of God what you're doing. You see, it's one thing to say you're a Christian, and your behavior says you're not, you see. And so as baby Christians, we know babies, when they're learning, they fall down a lot. When you're learning to talk, there's certain words they don't say correctly. And so it's with us as baby Christians that we have to learn. And so we follow the voice of the good shepherd, and the voice of a stranger we will not follow. And then we ask God to give us wisdom. And Jesus has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You see, that's what Jesus, he redeemed us. His time on Calvary, his crucifixion, was a part of the redemption of us so that we could have salvation. You see, when you really understand all about salvation and understand about Jesus giving his life for us and then taking it back out of the grave so that we could have eternal life. That's so we could have eternal life. And so when you really understand all of that, and it takes some time if you're a new Christian and new to the Word of God, it takes some time to understand that. But we really need to learn how to apply the truth. That's the Word of God. You know, the Bible isn't merely historical, but a book full of practical and applicable truth that has the ability to change our lives. So when you open your heart to God's Word and you choose to believe it, you'll experience a transformation. And when you obey God's commands, they will bear incredible fruit in your life. And God's Word is meant to direct you to the abundant life that He's planned for you. So you have to have faith in the words of the Scripture and choose to believe God's promises. And of course, last, you must see yourself in the light of God's Word. You see, many of us don't have ever had good self-esteem. We always had low self-esteem because maybe we heard from the womb, even from the womb, we heard that it was nothing good about us, that maybe we were unplanned pregnancy. Maybe we were, we just wasn't supposed to be here. That's what we hear. You see, we now understand that those infants, those embryos that these mothers conceive when they get pregnant, they can hear. They have ears, and they can hear, and they hear everything that's going on outside their mama's belly. And we call them a lot of things before they ever get here that maybe will cause them to believe that they don't amount to much and they'll never amount to much. Because if you like your daddy, you'll never be amount to nothing. And your mama, she was a so-and-so, and you just like her. And all of that stuff we say to these children to help them believe that they are nobody. I was talking to my niece, and I know this is not true in her upbringing, but she was in a marriage where she was made to feel inferior. And this particular niece has always been introverted. In fact, when she was a baby, she's a few months younger than my daughter, Regina. And so her mom and dad, my brother and his wife, would bring her over. I was a babysitter for them sometimes. And this little baby, she was able to sit up and move around, crawl around. She wasn't walking yet. But the only person that she really responded to was my daughter, Regina. But, you know, we kind of thought she was a kind of snooty baby. You know, she'd just sit and look at you with a silent look on her face, but she responded to Regina. Well, Regina was close to her age, and Regina was doing things that she wasn't able to do yet, like talk and walk. So, you know, but she was a little person too. So, you know, sometimes we don't understand what an impression we make on children, but as an adult woman who had been in a marriage that wasn't very happy for her, obviously, she told me one time when she was visiting here in the area, and when we gathered at her sister's house, And I was asking her how she was doing. I said, well, how are you doing? She said, Aunt Mary, I'm doing nothing, and I know nothing, and I'm just a nothing person. And it just woke me up. I said, oh, that's not true. You see, I think she feels better about herself now. But you see, if we are hearing that from someone that we care about, if we are hearing that on a regular basis, that we don't do nothing right, and we never will amount to nothing. Some kids are raised with that. You ain't never amount to nothing because you just like your daddy or just like your mama. Some kids aren't raised by their mothers, and they hear this. So we need to understand that, we need a renewal of our mind from childhood. We need a renewing of our thought life from childhood. So we need to understand that. So last, you must see yourself in the light of God's word. You have the choice to believe God or not. The Bible says incredible things about your identity in Christ. We need to know who we are in Christ. So when we're in Him I live and move and have my being. See? So we need to say, know that the Bible says incredible things about our identity in Christ. For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. You find that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Bible says that you are God's child, that you are worth the death of Christ, and that you are free from the bondage of sin and the world. Those are powerful, powerful words. The Bible says you are God's child. I want to say that again. But you are worth the death, and that you are worth the death of Christ, and that you are free from the bondage of sin and the world. So those are powerful promises, but in order for you to experience the fullness of what the scripture says, you must renew your way of thinking to be like God. You see, so that's what we're talking about this morning. And then the Apostle Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. As people born of the Spirit, that means that we're saved. We have the mind of Christ, and you can find that in Corinthians 2:16. So set your mind every day on the things of God. Read the scripture with the help of the Holy Spirit. Walk in abundance to God's word, and see yourself as God does. If you'll do these things daily, your entire outlook on life will be one of contentment, joy, purpose, and abundance. Where you need to renew your mind today, where do you need to renew your mind today? You ask yourself that question. Ask God to show you, where do I need to renew my mind today? What area of my life seems to be plagued by negativity, insecurity, or anger? And then we need to spend time reading God's word with the Holy Spirit's help. With the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's the one that comes alongside to help us. And then receive the revelation from the very God who authored the words you're reading, you see. Meditate on the words that stand out to you. You know, you're reading the scripture. If you haven't had this experience, you can. You're reading the scripture. I like to read it out loud to myself. As I said earlier, sometimes, maybe not all the time, but sometimes I like to hear myself saying what the word says. And so, you spend time reading God's word with the Holy Spirit as the teacher. Receive revelation from the very God who authored the words you're reading. Meditate on the word that stands out to you. And see, you're reading, and all of a sudden one word will pop out at you, or look like that word just jumps off the page. And you need to allow yourself to meditate on that. And how do you meditate on the words that stand out to you? you begin to speak it out of your mouth. Speak it out of your mouth. Speak it out of your mouth. And you see, then you're beginning to meditate on the words that stand out to you and allow them to change the way you think, how you feel, and most of all, how you act. Experience that renewal today in your way of thinking, and watch as your mind watches that renewing of your mind occurs, and it changes your entire day for the better. You see, when we have a mind renewal, everything looks brighter to us. Because, see, some of us are so angry about what happened to us earlier in our life, maybe still happening to us, abuse. We get in abusive relationships. We haven't forgiven those that abused us, even though we're not with them, the parent or whatever. We haven't forgiven them. And so we're holding on to all of that pain and anger. And so we need to let it go. We need to let it go. And sometimes it can happen in a microwave minute. We have to keep asking. You know, the word says, ask and it shall be given. But it actually means keep on asking. If you're not getting what you want and you go shopping, you keep on asking. If you are not receiving the attention of the person that's supposed to be helping you at the store, now this is a crude example, but it's true. You keep on asking. And so we know that we can ask in faith and believe we receive it right away. But sometimes we have to go back and ask God to give us a better understanding. I'm not receiving that. So, Lord, can you help me understand what I'm doing? How am I missing it? I've done that. God, I must be missing it because I asked you for this and it didn't happen. And I don't even, you know, I need to know if it's something else I need to do. And if it's something else I need to do, you need to show me what to do. So, prayer. We'll talk about prayer for just a minute, and then we're going to have our communion. Prayer. Meditate on the power of renewing your mind. And again, that Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then Colossians 3:1-3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, talking about the mind, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have died to that old creature. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what you need to understand. And then reflect on your own life. Where do you need renewal today? What thoughts seem to plague? We have thoughts that just beat us up, just keep coming back, as we say in rooms of recovery, but this is not a good keep coming back. Those thoughts keep coming back to us. He did that to me. She said that about me. I was treated differently as a child. I wasn't treated. I had a brother one time. We were on our way to a funeral. A dear brother that had been a part of our church, Bread of Life, his brother attacked him with a knife and killed him down in the Sacramento area. He was alumni of Free at Last. So we were going to go to the service that day. And so I had to rent a car because for some reason I didn't take my car to Sacramento. So we were going to go and rent the car, got there to rent the car, and I couldn't find my driver's license. Well, I had been to the post office the day before, and I guess I wrote a check or whatever, something I had to show them my driver's license, and then I walked up and left my driver's license at the post office. So, of course, I couldn't rent a car because I couldn't show them I had a driver's license. So we ended up just sitting there at the church, and this brother began to share his upbringing. Us. And this guy was very abrasive. He was very talented, but he was really abrasive. He was had a nasty attitude, you know. But he began to share with us his upbringing. And he was brought up with a stepfather in the picture. And the stepfather made a difference in him and the children that his mother had that were his children. And, you know, he was full of it. When I'm saying he was full of pain. He was full of anger. Oh, my God, he started talking about it. And, you know, I just sat there and listened. Me and another sister, we sat there and listened. We never did get to the funeral, but I tell you what, I was able to do some ministry and understand how to pray for this brother. You see, so we come and we are full of it. A lot of us have some unpleasant experiences we had with our parents, or we had with our family relative, or we had with a person that we were in love with. You know, we have this stuff, and if we don't get rid of it, we can't love God, because the word says that if you don't love your brother, how can you love God? So you see, it's a whole cycle that goes on with that. I'm going to have to stop in a minute. So you reflect on your life. Where do you need renewal today? What thoughts seem to plague you? Where do you normally feel negative, insecure, or angry? And then number three, you need to meditate on the passage of scripture that seems pertinent to the area of your thinking that needs renewal. So you do a web search on a specific topic. You know, you can do that if you need to. And if you're struggling with a particular sin, meditate on scripture about freedom. And if you struggle with your speech, meditate on a passage about taming your tongue. Whatever you need renewal today, wherever you need it, God has a plan to help you. And I'm talking about that speech thing because some of us have some habits of using profanity. And we were going to allow NA, I believe it was, to have meetings in our sanctuary that time when we were over there behind Sherman's Market. Some of y'all know about that time. And so I was asked by the person that managed the property if I would allow the brothers to have, or anyone who wanted to come, a meeting at the church. And so as we know, the history of NA and AA is that they did have meetings in the church. So I was good with that. But I knew that some of those folks had problems with profanity. They used it every other word. And so I said, you know, you're welcome to use the sanctuary, because I didn't have that one room. We had restrooms, and I had a little office, but we didn't have a fellowship hall or anything. So they would have had to have their meetings in the sanctuary. I said, but you know, I don't want nobody using profanity in the sanctuary, because it leaves a bad spirit in there. And they were having their meetings on Saturday night, and we were having church on Sunday morning. And I wanted that sanctuary clean for Sunday morning. I'm talking about spiritual clean. So we go in there and pray, and I would anoint, you know, with oil. And we just wanted the Spirit of God to have freedom in our services on Sunday morning. And so I said that. And then I sent one of my folks, I said, who was in recovery, I said, you're going to have to go to the meeting, because I want to make sure they don't start messing in there and leaving that spirit in the sanctuary. Sure enough, the person came back and said, well, Pastor, I'm sorry to say, but so-and-so, he just, every other word is profanity. So this person was a friend of my son's, Eric, before Eric passed away. So I wanted to give him an opportunity to hear from me my concern about him using that profanity and how I had requested that it not be used. And I was so happy to have them using the church for their meetings, but I didn't want that language in there. He told me, he looked at me just as nice and said, well, I can't help that. I can't stop it. I'm not trying to stop it because I can't help that. Well, I know that's a lie. And some of y'all that's online today know it's a lie because some of y'all have bad mouths and you can stop it. It's a habit, just like that dope or that alcohol or that food, because you know you can be addicted to food. So if you can stop it, God can help you if you want to stop. Every habit that I need help with, I go to God. I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day for 20 years. But when I believed that God wanted me, those cigarettes were distracting. They were in the way of my growth. I asked God to help me stop smoking those cigarettes. And I stopped smoking those cigarettes. I believe it was in 1981. 1981, I have not had a cigarette from that day to this day, and I didn't go to, I had tried all the little smoke ender stuff and all of that, but when God delivered me, he delivered me, so he can deliver you wherever, he delivers you from drugs, and you stay clean and sober every day, and so I just you know, I'm sorry, I didn't buy that. So finally, I just had to say, I'm sorry, but y'all can't have your meetings in here because I didn't want to have to come every Sunday morning and do a spiritual house cleaning so we could have service without that, all that bad language floating around in the room. Because you can tell people your story and you don't have to tell it with profanity. You know, and I know people slip up every once in a while, but no. So anyway, praise the Lord. We need our minds renewed. So wherever you need renewal today, God has a plan for you. Okay, so the last thing I'm going to say, because we're running out of time, I have some more to say. I'm going to give you some scriptures so you can look for yourself. Romans 8, 5, and 6, and Colossians 3 and 10. You can look for those yourself. And so, how great is the love of God that he would give us the incredible gift of his word to mold and shape us? Your heavenly Father loves you too much to let you stay where you are. Every day he has planned to lead you into more and more abundant life. When you wake up and take a minute to ask yourself what you want your day to be like, what sort of life do you want to live today? Then ask the Holy Spirit to help you renew your mind to God's truth so that you can live that life. Walk in freedom today. Live with your mind set on the Spirit. Experience the incredible life God has planned for you as his child. You'll never have a better day than the one where your mind is renewed to the truth of God's unfathomable love. And if you want to just go ahead, read Romans chapter 12, the whole chapter. And we're going to stop right there. And we are going to have our communion service quickly. I'm sorry because I went way over the time I intended, but once I started this lesson, I just had too much to say. And I could even say more, but we'll leave it like that. And so we want to have our communion service this morning. And we want to have the Lord's Supper this morning. So some of you received my text last night where I indicated that we were going to have our Lord's Supper. and then some of you heard me say this morning, and all you need is a little piece of cracker and some juice to sit at the Lord's table. And so what we do first is that we repent of our sins, because all of us fall short of the glory of God. That's what it tells us in Romans 3 and 23. I can tell you which one it is. We all fall short of the glory of God. And so we're going to repent for our sins, and then we're going to partake of the cup, and as in the blood, and the cracker, as Jesus spoke about this morning. We're going to have our memorial service for him. Okay. So, if you have that together right now, then please join me in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much. I thank you for these elements that we are going to partake of to remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning. And Lord, your word says, we ask you to bless those elements, sanctify them for the purpose that they're going to be used for. And then, Lord, we ask that you would create in us clean hearts, renew right spirits within us this morning. Cause us, Father God, to know that we can ask forgiveness. Your word in 1 John says, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, Father, I'm asking you to purge us this morning. Whatever unforgiveness, whatever anger, whatever anything that's in our hearts against anyone, even ourselves, I'm asking you to relieve us of that and to give us the peace that we need as we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we sit at the Lord's table this morning. I ask that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen. So now, I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to start reading at verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 12. And the scripture says, starting at verse 23, for I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, take, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we want to take that bread, that little piece of cracker we have, and we're gonna partake of that. As a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ. So I ask you to join me in taking that cracker, and we will eat the bread right now in Jesus' name. Praise God. And then the scripture tells us that once we have taken that bread, then the scripture tells us in this is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26 says, for whenever you have eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And so we're going to drink of that cup this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to sit at the Lord's table this morning and partake of the bread and the cup, Lord. The symbolism for the broken body and the blood shed at Calvary for us. Jesus Christ shed his blood and allowed himself to be whipped with a cat of nine tails for us, Lord, so that we could have salvation. And so we thank you so much. And we thank you that he's very much alive, sitting at the right hand of the throne of grace tonight, making intercession for us. And we give you praise and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. I think I stumbled through that communion service. I don't know why, but anyway, the devil is really mad anyway. We know that he's been mad all day. And I thank God for all of you this morning. And I just want you to keep in mind that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. That we need to allow the Holy Spirit to be the one to guide us and direct us. And he will send people to us. I don't negate that he will send people to us. But we need to know what the Word of God says for ourselves. We need to be able to recognize when the Word is being taught. We need to be recognized when people are speaking the Word to us and when they're not. And so with that said, I'm going to ask Reverend Robinson to dismiss us. I thank God for each one of you this morning. I love you dearly. Want you to have a real blessed day in the Lord. Be safe and be well. And all right, Reverend, you can dismiss us.
Amen. Amen. So thank you once again for your teaching, Pastor. You touched on quite a few subjects, renewing the mind and knowing the word, learning the word. And you also touched on, you know, maybe we was told some things as children that we grew up with, because I was taught some things too, you know, and I always joke on it now. You know, my uncle always told me, boy, you the biggest dummy I ever seen. And when I seen Fred Safford and them, I used to laugh, but I used to always think, oh, boy, my uncle said I was a big dummy. But, you know, I can laugh at those things now because God says something different about me. So those things that we may have learned as a child that we carried on through our lives, you know, I'm glad you spoke on that, because that is not who we are. You know, we are who God made us to be. So, like I say, I won't say much, but thank you for the teachings and the remembrance, because sometimes we need to remember those things to know what the truth is. So I just thank you for that. So, Father God, we thank you today, Father God. We thank you for the lesson that went forth, Father God. And we thank you for the teacher, Father God. And we ask that you continue to put those lessons in her, Father God, that she gives to us, Father God. So we just thank you for her this morning, Father God. We thank you for each and everyone here today, Father God. And we always thank you for the families that are represented here today, Father God. As we carry on our week, Father God, we ask that hedge of protection over each and every one of us, our family members, Father God, and our friends, Lord. So we just thank you this evening, this morning, Father God, and we worship you, Lord, and we just give you praise, honor, and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone say, amen.
Amen.
Amen, everybody.
Praise God. Y'all have a blessed day.
All right, everybody. Y'all have a good one. I'm showing off my t-shirt today, y'all, from the convention. I messed around and got the wrong t-shirt. I got it in Spanish, but it says recovery is possible. Now, I went to that a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't realize that I bought the Spanish-speaking one, but it still say the same thing.
Huh? I was just looking at that, trying to figure it out.
It's saying recovery is possible, for y'all who don't
all
know
right.
that.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, well, thanks for the translation.
Okay.
I was trying to see what it was saying myself.
Praise God. All right, everybody. Y'all have a blessed one now.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
Well, praise God. Be blessed.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.